Hello and welcome to Watch What Crap Ins, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to talk about. I'm Ben Mandelker, and joining me today is the wonderful Ronnie Karam. Hi, Ronnie. How are you?
Well, hello, Benoons. How are you?
I'm great. My body is coursing with adrenaline still after watching Salt Lake City because I just cannot believe this show. I cannot believe what we watch. And that we get to recap it for our job. Like, my heart was racing. It was so good, but so campy.
You really were. I was texting during while we were taking notes.
Did I overhype it for you a little bit? Because I was losing my mind watching it.
No, you didn't overhype it at all. You were texting me things like, oh my God, this Linda scene. Well, first you were like, Linda, iconic.
I did.
And then you're like, oh my God, this Linda scene. I'm out of breath. Which is so funny. I love when you get like that.
Because I make fun of people when they do that, but I fully do it myself.
You make fun of our friends who are like the insta-gays who are like, oh my God, iconic. Lady Gaga just wore cotton downtown.
Because this is my Brynn. Okay, so while the instigators are like, oh my God, Brynn, iconic. I'm like, Linda and Monica fighting. I'm like, iconic, this is me. I was texting you. I was texting Danny Pellegrino. I was like, oh my God, Danny, have you watched it yet? just bothering everyone.
Well, no, it wasn't bothering. I was watching it too. But, you know, it's funny how different people take things because anyone who has any mommy issues or shit like this from growing up, I'm like, you're like, this is amazing. And I'm like, back on my end, you know, just rocking back and forth in the fetal position. Like, oh my God.
Yeah, I do come from like non-mommy trauma.
It's a cycle of abuse. I'm telling Bueller, and look how Bueller's reacting.
I know, Bueller's.
It's a cycle.
Bueller's like, get over it. Get over it already. Yeah, I guess I'm like the Meredith Marks in this situation, and you're like the Heather and Monica and Whitney. And actually, in the spirit of that, you know, because obviously, as people know, listen to this podcast, this is not just audio. We have a video. It's also on video. You can go to patreon.com/watchacrap and support us at the Crappens on Demand level. You get early access to our videos. And in honor of this episode, I have decided to create make my video location a dingy parking lot with dirty snow in honor of a central scene of this episode. Because, of course, this is the only show where it would take four cast members and literally put them into a wet parking lot with brown snow behind them for a whole scene. I was looking at this. I was like, what is going on in this show? They're like not at a spa. They're not at a restaurant. They're just sitting in chairs. This is actually worse, like production-wise, worse than when The Real Housewives of New Jersey did a cast trip and like did a whole scene in a parking lot in California, because this parking lot had dirty snow in it. Didn't even have a view of the Pacific.
Well, this show, the most iconic scene was when Jen Shah was getting arrested and it was in a parking
lot.
Granted, they were in a, you know, Sprinter Van 2 parking lot. This show is no stranger to whipping out those folding chairs. Okay, we've seen it many a time on this show. Some of the best fights have been like, let's sit in the snow and fight about it.
This was just, I like this episode. I just am always amazed. This season, there's a reason why its ratings are better than it's ever been, because it's just everything about it is so silly. We're obviously going to dive right into that whole scene with Linda and Monica, because to me, the entire scene felt like a one-act play. Like, I felt like it had a whole arc. It starts with Linda crying. They have a whole thing. There's revelations. There's stories. It starts in one place. It goes to another place. Has A, B, and C. Act 1, Act 2, and Act 3 of this scene. There's barely even any like interviews because it just holds on its own. I was like, oh, this is some of the best TV I've ever seen.
I got it. I got it.
Hey, but real quickly, everyone, if you're wondering where the Below Deck Med recap is this week, it's not happening. It is happening. It's happening right now. Natalia arranged a pirate scavenger hunt.
For children. It was a whole episode about babysitting children. And you know what? Not only children, highly uninteresting children. Can I just say that? I know we're not supposed to pick on children on this show, but I think that these children, if these children are already on podcasts, Apple Podcasts, get them the fuck off and raise them better because they shouldn't be there.
Are they?
just little blonde, boring children. Did those children do one interesting thing? Get better children. Can I just say that?
Yeah.
You know, we're going to have a lot to say about mothering later, about childing, like what it's like to be a good child, what it's like to be a good mother. We don't know all the, do we have all the answers? No, this doesn't come with a rule book. But here's what I will say. Neither Linda may be a bad mother. Monica may be a bad child. Neither one of those two is a non-interesting mother or a non-interesting child. And I think that being non-interesting is much worse. So shame on you, Below Deck. You're, that's not the, the children are not the reason we're skipping it, but it's the reason we're proud to.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. It was that made our choice much easier. I think the only other thing that happened is that Luca and Natalia made out, like, which matters to anyone.
Natalia's in an open relationship. Oh my God, I can't believe I'm in an open relationship. It's
what am I going to do? I think the only thing I can really remember that was amusing to me was how Natalia talked Kyle's ear off till 3:30 in the morning in their room on a work night because she just kept on talking and talking and talking. And finally Kyle was like, Natalia, please stop.
That was, and we're actually not skipping it because of hate or anything like that.
We love
it's
show.
Just a crazy busy Bravo week. There's a ton on. And speaking of that, new shows, Beverly Hills is out. Southern Charm is not new, but what else came out?
Miami. Then? Miami premiere is happening on Wednesday. So a lot to talk about. And the very last thing before we dive into this is thank you to everyone who showed up to Crappy Hour on Monday. It was really, really fun. If you missed it, you can the audio of it is here on our podcast feed. But there's actually more extended content if you go to our IG because you can see us talking with people on the feed. So go check it out. We talk about like the Vanity Fair article, and we talk about like other gossip, like New Jersey and stuff. So that's every other week, every other Monday. So definitely come join us because we have a lot of fun doing it, and we love talking with you all, and it's a blast. So anyway, there's so much to talk about, but let's talk about Salt Lake City because this is I'm gonna burst from the seams if we don't start talking about it soon.
Let's do it. So we open with a classic. So then we're at Golden Ski.
A golden retriever on the slopes.
Oh. A golden is skiing.
I was like, hold space for Ronnie to get upset about this golden retriever on the slope. Because you know that golden retriever is looking for a tennis ball somewhere.
The golden retriever did not have a ball. And you know how cold it is to take a dog where everything's covered? He can't find his ball. That's not fair to a golden retriever, okay? You can't take a drug addict into a place covered in snow and they can't get it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's what you're doing to that golden retriever. Poor thing. Also, please don't ski while you're with your dog because this person was skiing and they were holding their dog on a leash. And you know, it's very dangerous. I don't like when people are doing anything other than walking their dog. Don't roller skate with your dog on a leash. Mm-hmm. Don't be in a truck. You know, have you ever seen a person in a truck mm-hmm. and their dog is running beside the truck? I mean, maybe that's don't a Texas surf. Thing. Please don't do that.
Don't surf with your dog.
Don't surf with your dog.
People do that. It's weird.
Don't be on a train while your dog is running next to the train. That's very bad. Yeah. Don't take space shuttles with your dog on a leash outside the space shuttle. It's very bad.
Don't bring your dog into the grocery store. I'm going to say this, by the way. Don't bring your dog into the grocery store. That's also something that people need to stop doing because I don't need your dog hairs in my fresh produce.
If your dog is too weak to stay at home while you need to go to the Marshalls, then your dog is not fit for this life.
Okay? Let's be honest, okay?
Your dog needs to grow up.
Okay, your dog does not need to go to every single public space. Neither do your children, too, by the way. But dogs, but especially the dogs.
Yeah, so there's a golden retriever skiing, and then there's a duck, and then did you notice this duck? I'm also going to duck shame.
I didn't notice the duck at all.
This episode I was actually this duck.
I normally notice all the ducks because I love ducks. So I'm shocked I missed the duck. So please tell me all about it.
It's this needy food addicted duck, and I really understood the duck because I'm like that. And the duck is just like refusing to swim in the pond. It's going right along the edge of the pond, just waiting for some child with bread, some child or elderly person with some breadcrumbs. You know what I thought? Stop begging.
Was it a mallard
duck?
Did it have like a green head? Or is it one of the white ducks?
I just remember it was so close to the curb the whole time. And I'm like, that is the laziest duck I've ever seen. That's like the Ronnie duck over there just looking for a slice.
You know those mallards? Mallards are the ones with the green heads, or those loons. I think it's mallards with the green heads. They're like the Julia Fox of ducks. They're always like, I'm serving a look. And like, lady, you're in a pond, you know?
I'm sorry, it's a leuk.
Leuk. She's iconic. So speaking of
iconic, let's go to Whitney's Tract House. So Whitney is pouring a Red Bull.
She's pouring, and she's wearing like all black pleather in the kitchen. Pouring like a sparkling soda or a Red Bull or something like that. I'm like, why are you so dressed? Why are you dressed like this to pour your sparkling beverage?
I think she's about to go to exercise class or something. And she's in like those hot Catherine from Southern Charm pleathers.
Yes.
They're hot. I wish I could dress like that. I looked at Man Spanx the other day. They're actually somewhat cute, and I'm considering it. Just warning
everybody. Why don't you get some Skims? You know, they now have Skims for men with all those hot guys in the images. Thanks, Kim Kardashian. Finally giving us something worthwhile.
I don't
like Skims
because I don't approve of that kind of milk, and so I won't wear the product, even though I know they're different things.
Okay, fair. So Justin walks in.
I would wear holes.
Someone who is not part of the marketing campaign for Skims, Justin, he enters with his trademark charismatic personality. Hey, what's going on? And he's like, I just got off the phone with Mary, flashback. And now we have a flashback of Mary in her closet speaking to Whitney on the phone, and she has like a hat on, and that hat has some sort of like pink thing around it with all sorts of like drawings on it, and her closet is just like more cluttered than usual, and you just sort of feel like Mary was in the middle of playing dress up when she got like a call from Whitney.
That's all Mary does. That is exactly what she was doing. And so Whitney's talking to her, and she's like, hey Mary, I would love to have a chat with you if you would like to. And Mary's like, well, if I don't feel it, I'm not going to show up then. Okay, good talk.
Great. All right, we'll look forward
I'll
to
just
that.
Wait for you. I'll just go to the restaurant and kind of wait. So can we just point out Justin has dimple privilege. He's got these really cute dimples on him.
Okay.
And if he didn't have those dimples, he would be like Dudley the dog. What's the name of the dog that the elevator door is open and he's like
going down.
What's the name of that dog?
Going down. I don't know the name of
Justin looks just like him.
What
but
is
he
that
has,
dog? Is that Dudley?
But he has dimples and going down. Dudley. I don't know. Someone will tell us in the comments. Okay,
I'm gonna say elevator dog.
I really thought Ben was gonna know who it was. It's like the most droopy depressed dog in the world.
Is it Droopy Dog?
What is it? Droopy dog. Who would look like Droopy Dog? But he has those dimples. So dimples have cackling saved you. Hags. You have dimple privilege. Also cackling hags. Also, I'm not sure that I believe this Whitney Justin having trouble storyline. I think it's Whitney fishing for a storyline. Here's why. Because he's really keeping up his spray tan for Whitney. And I feel like when you're in a, you know, things are going strong, or at least he's still trying to make you love him when he's getting spray tan to this degree. He looks like a cocktailed wiener dog. He's so miscolored. Why does he look like that?
My struggle with Justin is that he just has just enough physical features to remind me of Rudy Giuliani that I struggle with it, you know, like he's got a touch of Giuliani to him, you know.
I can see that. I would never see that had you not said it. Yeah, but I can see it.
Both Rudy and Andrew, there's just some Giuliani in there.
Also, I could see somebody from this show calling a press conference at the Four Seasons, but they get it wrong and it turns out it's at the Four Seasons Garden and Landscaping.
That's
strip mall.
Except it wouldn't be them getting it wrong, because that's literally where production decided they're going to shoot. They're like, okay, ladies, we are going to be filming a scene at the Four Seasons. And then Mary shows up in like Fendi. Just want to say the Giuliani thing was not a political reference. It was just merely just referencing someone who I don't think is sexually appetizing. So,
also fuck that guy and fuck his politics.
And that too.
Yeah.
So that is political right there. So
I'll take it. And guess who's not sorry? Me, suckers!
So Whitney goes, we never got to clear the air, and I thought I was going to get the chance at Greek Easter, but she wasn't there, so I reached out to her, and she agreed to go to dinner. And Justin's like, what the fuck? Why do you care about this lady? And Whitney says, I fully realized that it's completely random that I want to meet up with Mary, but production says I have to do it, so that's why I'm doing it.
I mean, she's not really nice to me. However, it keeps coming up in my meditation and my therapy with my energy healer and my infinity spirit necklace molding sessions with my yoga inspirator and my soul cycle cycle cleansing with my pre-afterlife counselor and my stripper pole workout class.
And Instacart. Clearly, and Instacart.
Clearly, for me, I need to find some sort of ...
Whitney, you don't need to say that part.
Which part? Clearly?
The ...
Then why did you spell it out?
We didn't, Whitney. It's just three dots.
Okay. Clearly, for me, I need to find ... Whitney!
I need to find ... resolve so I can move on with Mary and clean my carpets. So Whitney's like, speaking of awkward relationships, Justin segue that says brackets, Heather invited me to cross country skiing where we're going to ski across the country, maybe for charity. I don't get it actually, but Meredith is going to be there.
I hope you're ready to babysit the kids, person with the job, because I'm going to be skiing all the way across the country. I don't know when I'm going to be back. That could take hours. Hey, America's big.
I found out I'm skiing across a Toby Keith concert. It's cross-country skiing.
Stupid.
It starts at Toby Keith and goes through Reba.
It's we sing prayers and go to a country concert. Cross-country religion.
And Justin's like, so how are things with you and, you know, old bobblehead, the other bobblehead, the stressed out bobblehead? And she's like,
well, I wouldn't say they're bad, but they're not good. I want to invite her to Bobby's birthday. I want to include people even when they're being,
And then we get but it's not the evil that's from Bravo. Like, ooh, they really got him. Then Whitney has her own ding dongs, which is like, it's like a rim shot.
And then Justin is like, well, you know, I have a conference that I have to go to for work, right? Because when he says the party's going to be on Bobby's birthday, and Justin's like, well, you know, I've got a conference I got to go to. So then we get a scheduling. And then Whitney's like, on her birthday, you're not going to be here? And he's like, yeah, I just said that. That's why we said, remember we planned that we were going to have the party the weekend before? And she's like, no, I said we're going to do it on her birthday while we're going across the country on skis. I thought we talked about that.
I need to take a moment and just congratulate this family on their fiber intake, because when we start the scene, it starts like with a close-up of this gigantic fruit bowl with all these different fruits on it, okay? And while she's doing this part, it has behind her, we see a double-decker round, what do you call those things from Home Goods? Like a fruit holder thing, but it's like a double-decker. It looks like a pie plate. And on the bottom, it's full of red apples, and on the top, it's full of green apples. I was like, how much fruit do you guys eat? That's a lot of fruit.
That's a lot.
Also, you shouldn't put alligator skin wallpaper as the backsplash of your kitchen. How have I never noticed that before?
I did not notice not that. Practical. Alligator skin pattern for your backsplash? Why even have a black backsplash at that point?
Like, well, I guess alligators are waterproof, so I guess, like, that makes sense.
Isn't a backsplash, the point of it is like it's a surface that, like, when grease gets on it, you can like wipe it off easily. So, like, why do you want a pattern that looks like you never wiped off the grease? Because that's kind of what alligator skin looks like.
I don't know if the problem was that I was paying too much attention today, or the problem was I haven't been paying attention the last 4 years, but it was disturbing, and I can't believe I haven't seen it before. So lots of fiber.
Fiber and back splashes. So Justin, basically, he has an event. He has to do something for work. And Whitney's like, but I mean, I get that. And he's like, well, I won't be gone the whole day. I mean, I can reach out. I can FaceTime with her. I just won't be there in person. And she's like, I mean, I can move it to the weekend before. but I have a prism event also. I wasn't sure if she said prism or prison, because I just like the idea that when he's like, hold on, I'm doing makeover for prison guards. I can't do Bobby's birthday.
I'm going to try reforming prison people by giving them spiritual necklaces that they could buy on my website.
We take chain gangs and make them go cross-country skiing. It's an excellent event for people.
And of course, this is a work event, and it's conflicting with his work event. It's, you know, so whose event is more important? The man or the woman? That's the plot this year. Like,
wait a minute. I'm just as important as you. My work is just as important as yours. I'm making a necklace, the sign of inner peace.
What is that shape?
Why don't they just...
A good one. It's a heart.
Why don't they just have the birthday party a few days later? Like give Bobby a nice cake on her birthday. Whitney can be there. Dad can FaceTime in and have the party like 2 days later. They're acting like this is totally intractable.
Yeah, I know. Bobby, like, literally does not give a fuck.
Bobby does not give a fuck. I guarantee you that. I guarantee Bobby is like, oh my God, I can't wait to have my birthday with Meredith Marks and other women who are in their 40s and 50s. No, she doesn't. Right. She wants to go to the arcade or do whatever she's going to the arcade. I'm so old-fashioned. She wants to go to the arcade and have popcorn and taffy. She wants to go to the mall.
She wants to go pony riding with the other kids. She just can't wait for it.
She wants to get a 10-cent penny whistle. I don't
know if that makes sense. Pin the tail on the actual donkey, just like we did back in my day.
She wants to see the bearded woman and see a juggler at the circus.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
So she's like, oh, one more thing. Have you made the therapy appointment yet, Jay?
And he's like, no, I guess I'll text the therapist now. She's like, okay, love you, Jay. Like hits her head on the way out on the side of the door. Okay, so then Heather is in bright green workout gear, and it's time to do an excursion with Monica.
Yeah, this is a funny excursion because they basically arrive at some place. They get on snowmobiles. They ride on the snowmobiles to like the top of a mountain. They take a selfie and then they ride back down to the lobby. And then they have hot cocoa. I'm like, okay, thanks for showing us that ride. That's cool.
Yeah, we really went on a journey with them.
I was like, is this going anywhere?
And then they stopped. They kind of tricked us because they stopped. They did the journey and then they stopped and they're like, oh my God, that was so fun. The guy was like, yeah, that was so great. And Monica's like, oh my God, everything's like so cute. And it was like, okay, now it's time to gossip. And then they're like, let's get back on. So then they got back on and kept riding some more.
Like on Beverly Hills, Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, there would have been like a beautiful picnic table set up with heat lamps and napkins and this cute basket and hot cocoa. But on this show, they're like, okay, send them back down to the vending machines in the public lobby.
I know. They're like, hey, wait a minute. We've got half a mile left of gas. Get the hell back on there. We paid for that. So, by the way, did you know this is the same? I'm sure you did because, like, we've been covering these shows for years, but did you know this is the same production company as New York?
You know what? I only read that. I never noticed, but I only read that recently because of the Vanity Fair article. And then I was like, really? How are they doing such a good job on this show and such a bad job on that show? Which makes me think it's Bravo's fault, not the production company's fault.
I'm just bringing it up because there's hope. You know, just keep
hoping. Oh, yeah, that's a good, that's also a good perspective, too. That's a better perspective than mine.
You know?
That's
if you can do this, you can do that. That's how I look at it.
Yeah.
So they finish and Monica's like, oh my God, this was like so cute. I feel like we're in a Hallmark movie. Okay, well, you are the poor girl who came to town and then fucked her brother-in-law for a year and a half.
What?
Man, actually, that's a Hallmark movie I'm totally into. Please give me that Hallmark movie. I will not watch another Hallmark movie until that one is made.
Is there a Hallmark movie with like, that takes place in the lobby of a snowmobile? Facility.
This is like a Hallmark movie.
Is there like one with like Dean Cain where like Dean Cain like meets up with Leah Thompson and they have, you know, they have like a Snapple at a snowmobile lobby? Is that a thing? Would they go to a Valvoline? I don't know.
Remember that one where Tori Spelling falls in love with the supporting guy from Full House? What's the blonde guy's, the blonde guy's name? And then they end up door dashing some chilies to eat in the backseat of the car, but don't turn it on because it costs too much gas. God, that was a good one.
Remember the one where Gabriella Carteris and the gardener from Desperate Housewives, they meet at a car wash. And they meet because they both reach for the same button on the vending machine. And they're like, oh, hey, what are you doing here? It's like a meet cute. Oh, God, I love that. I love those Hallmark movies.
So good.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just like that. So Heather's like, wow, you know, yesterday was really hard at the Greek Easter. First of all, because I didn't know it was different than regular Easter, which made me feel really stupid. So I went around to everybody saying, hi, happy Easter. And they're like, it's not Easter, stupid. And I was said, opa. So anyway, that was me personally just projecting my own stuff because we kept saying, oh, my God, Greek Easter, just say Easter. They're on different days. Okay, I'm a dumbass.
They're like a week later. Yeah. I'm like, yeah, they're like a week later, Robbie. Like, get over it.
I guess you weren't here that episode.
I wasn't.
I'm all over myself that episode. But yeah, I didn't know that. So anyway, she's like, when I saw you leaving with your kids and no shoes, it was hard.
And so here's Heather.
She got even poorer during the party. She's like, wow, you guys left without any shoes on, freezing in the snow. There were blood trails from the inside of the house all the way to your car because you had to sell your shoes for enough money to get the door open to move it to your car.
The way that Joan Baez started playing as you walked barefoot to your car. So what's funny is Heather is trying to be empathetic here, but then Heather just talks about herself. She's like, oh my God. Yeah. Like
typical housewife. She's making her pain all about herself.
Yeah, she's like, to have your mom there not helping you, it just reminded me of the way I feel about my own mom. And my mom was a stay-at-home mom, and she had six kids, and three boys, three girls. She was the ultimate homemaker, and she was smart and creative and fun, and she taught me how to be a great mom. And we grew apart when I got divorced, and it was hard to accept the divorce, I guess, and it was hard navigating defending me. It just felt like no one had my back. Let's see, other things about my mom. She had a library card. She drove a Toyota Corolla. She loved Jeopardy, hated Prices Right. What else can I tell you about her that's not about you?
So she was nothing like my mom is what you're trying to say.
She's like, yes, the ultimate homemaker and good person.
Yes, nothing like my mom. So, girl, read a room, girl. Come on, girl.
She's Heather's like, yeah, you know, she taught me how to be a great mom.
So you're just going to keep going about you then?
So once I got divorced, it was just like so hard because no one would defend me. No one had my back. And she's like,
here's the thing. Like, our relationship is so volatile. It takes back to my childhood.
And then we get a monologue about... And this is so sad, by the way. Jesus Christ, if even part of this is true, you know? Because I know we can all exaggerate, but I'm like, this mom is terrible. And in the last recap, I was like, you know, well, the one that I talked to, yeah, you weren't here,
but I
was talking about the Easter thing. And I thought, you know, this lady's being a fucking asshole, and her mom's just telling her, like, you're making an ass out of yourself. Calm down. Like, I thought the mom was being an asshole, too. Like, I get that that wasn't being, you know, that was showing zero solidarity. But I was like, but Monica's being a brat. Like, that's kind of where I came down. Yeah. I remember specifically saying, if a parent is in a grocery store with their child and the child shits the floor, it's the parent's responsibility to tell everybody around them, I'm sorry for my child shitting the floor.
Yeah.
And Monica was kind of shitting the floor. I mean, Monica went to that party. She had just outed Sean or spread rumors about him loudly, either way, and was yelling back at the hostess about it when the hostess was trying to stay calm. I just had such an icky feeling about it. I didn't like it. That said, wow, this story, I was like, retract! Rewind and retract!
Monica and her mom are so fascinating. The way that the season began with them and where it's going now, I mean, I agree. My instinct when I watched that was like, you know what, like, listen, Linda was just trying to do the thing that you do when you're with company. It's like, I'm so sorry. Thank you for having me. She was being like doing the polite thing. But I understand why Monica was pissed, because Monica is like, you come in like now, you're basically treating me like a little child and you don't even know the context of this. But Monica was acting like an asshole at that party, to be honest, even if she was potentially in the right. So now Monica tells the story about how when she was 12, her mom decided that she wanted to chase her own dreams and basically moved to New York City. So she dropped Monica off with a family in Pennsylvania and then went and lived in New York. And then, you know, because as we heard earlier, Monica's dad left her when she was four, because famously she's like, all I know about my dad is he was gay and he left and he lives in Florida. So now she basically has huge abandonment issues.
So, yeah, she says her mom left her at four. No, her dad left her at four. Then her mom left her with this family. And so she has abandonment issues. And she was stuck starting junior high there with these, like, people who weren't even her family. And she said they were friends with her mom. And they had moved to Pennsylvania. And so she called them and was like, can I just drop her off? I mean, wow.
Yeah.
That's, you know, I can see already. I'm like, fuck the mom.
Yeah.
You know?
And Heather's like, jeez. I'm so sorry. I've been there. To Pennsylvania. Wow, the Amish. What an interesting culture. So did you raise a lot of barns when you were there?
Interesting. I lived a life just like that, except I wasn't abandoned and my mother made amazing casseroles based on Pennsylvania. Well, that's not really true, but I did have, I mean, it was great. My mom's still a bitch though, so there's that.
What was it like giving up zippers? So Monica's like, she's like, girl, I think you and I have like way more in common than I ever thought we would. And like, I'm just like so grateful, Heather, that you like did this with me today, like taking me to a lobby, because like, I wouldn't have even left my bed today, truly. That is like not a joke.
And Heather goes, you know what? You have a village now. You have built a new village, a village in a state and city called Crazy Fucking Town, okay? So you're going to be okay. We, you know, except for the abuse that we all hurl on you. But you know what? That's just your new life. So suck it up, okay? Yeah. Your mom's going to look like a fucking superhero when we're done with you. Your mom is going to look like as good of a mother as my mother was back in the casserole days by the time we're fucking done with you, lady.
Yeah, welcome to the village of ladies with severe mommy issues. So now, because this is an episode that's all about parenting, now we go to John Barlow bringing a box upstairs, and he's got some photo albums. He's like, hey, Jack, I'm going to go down memory lane. Like, your mom was surprised I had these photo albums anymore. You want to come look? Hey, look, here's a picture of me milking a cow. I'd never done that, and I was doing it in Vegas. Isn't that wild? Jack's like, yeah, cool, Dad.
I know. This is like the charisma's off the charts in this scene with the two of these. Jack, you want to come down? Yeah, Dad. You want to memory lane it with me? Sure, Dad. It's like, oh my God, how much of this are they splicing together? You know, one of them starts, Jack, you want to come here? Then the next, yeah, Dad. It's like, whoa, how are you suddenly standing next to each other? They had to probably cut out like 3 minutes of silence. I know. One of them, step by step. Okay, so John is telling us with Jack, by the way, John, very happy with Lisa, or very terrified of Lisa, whatever, but their marriage is strong. Why do we know this? What did we just learn? His spray tan is in line with what Lisa requires. So John is spray tan to the gills, and he's like, what? Jack, making this decision, I wasn't as impacted as Lisa was. Actually, ha ha, he told me 2 weeks before, ha ha, he told Lisa. Bro, why are you admitting that on TV? I hope you enjoy getting your fucking second Rolex thrown out the car window.
Seriously, the producers are like, were you afraid of Lisa's reaction? He goes, she'd probably beat the shit out of me, probably. So then John's reading, he's reading from his when he did his mission, he had like guess journaled, and his journal said, testimony of God answering prayers just increased 100 times overnight. Hay and I have been praying to find a family of four to baptize this month, and we found them. So
what a coincidence. That can't be coincidence that God put a family of four. That is such a weird number for a family, isn't it?
Can't believe in an entire metropolitan area you found four people who are like, cool, let's get baptized.
In Vegas.
Yeah.
That's nuts.
So
Las Vegas, you found a family of four. Absolutely fucking crazy, John.
It's just, so well, just funny. Like, it's just funny compared to what I was praying for when I was like 18 or 19. You know, I don't even know. I was like, dear God, please let me get a Nintendo 64. He's like, dear God, I'm praying to convert a family of four.
Here's what I was praying for. It was 1993. I was graduating high school. Well, not really, because I refused to finish.
You were going to the arcade.
But I was finishing up high school and getting ready, saving up my Applebee's money to go to New York and starring in The Sound of Music. And here was my dream. Dick,
I'm going to the land of Dick. I'm going to bring my mission of Dick to the town of Dick. I could not wait to get to New York, Dick City. I could not wait.
The hills are alive with the sound of penis.
Dick a dick, a female dick, dick a drop of golden dick.
So long, farewell, a vitas and vagina.
No vagina.
I'm saying goodbye to it.
Cannot change this musical.
No, I'm saying goodbye. Okay, saying goodbye. So long to the vagina.
Never said hello to it.
So. Saying goodbye to any any potential.
I can't believe you just brought vagina.
I'm sorry. Okay, wait, let me change it around.
Jesus.
Wait, what other songs are in The Sound of Music? Oh, climb every boner.
Dick every dick. Dick, 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 dick.
You don't even have to make it rhyme with that. Although, if we did keep vagina as a couple of songs, we could have
How Do You Solve a Problem Like Vagina? Dickety dick.
Dick. That's great.
Anyway, that was my goal in 93. God, those were the days. So, John's like, yeah, if I hadn't gone on a mission, I wouldn't have met Lisa because her sister was a missionary and she brought Lisa to hang with one of my roommates and the rest is history. Why is everybody from this show reading off a cue card? Do they literally just write this show down?
I want to know what a Mormon mission to Vegas looks like, because as far as we know, they went to Vegas and he found a lady and they banged. All right. Like, so like that, like the Vegas mission is probably where it's at for Mormons, right?
Didn't it bang?
Well, I don't think they banged. I feel like they banged. It's literally in the name. No. Missionary position. I'm sorry to
the
all
most
Mormon
bangs
listeners.
They did, like maybe she got bangs.
Maybe she got bangs. No, that's what I meant. Like you go there, you get bangs. Like that's what you do. I mean, look at Jack. He's got his bangs.
Jack is already banged. He's getting banged at home.
He loves a
fluffy
bang.
He just got banged before this episode. His bangs are hideous here. Actually, that was one of my first notes of what happened to Jack's hair. But we can't talk about it till Lisa comes on. Oh, actually, I wrote his highlighter bangs. Please stop. That's my note.
We continue our mission. There's so many important things. There's so many things going on in this world. I still think my number one political stance is down with teenage boy fluffy bangs. That is still,
I can't get with it.
I can't, like, what, why, who started this trend and why is it happening and why is it still here so many years later?
And they all have it. And they're like walking cartoon characters because they all travel in packs, you know, as you do when you're that age. And you go to a restaurant and a pack of them comes in and they look like they're from a cartoon. You know, it's like, what world have we been invaded by?
I know.
And what did they do to your hair?
Why? It doesn't matter what region you're from. All these kids.
No, it's all over.
Yeah. They all
do it. Yeah, it's all over. So he's going to get an email telling him where his mission is going to be, where he's going to be taken. And so Lisa pops in and she's like, oh my God. Hi, everybody. Just having a private scene. Mommy's here. Hi. So she sits down with them and she goes, so, oh my God, Jack, we're going to have a huge party for your mission. So what if we have a party and then your call doesn't come, Jack?
I'm just realizing that Jack does not have any value you and anything I say or anything I feel.
And so we see 1 week earlier, they're talking about this mission reveal and she's like, so for your like mission reveal, like what do you want there? Like you have to tell me, do you want some high tops? Do you want some like tables? I can do that. And he's like, I just want liquid death and charcuterie. A classic pairing, by the way.
She goes, oh, that's I feel like that's boring. Like, she's so offended. She's like, hello, you have the queen of Sundance here. And Jack's like, boring is good. Did you not hear me? This is a party for missionaries.
What part?
It's supposed to be boring.
They're supposed to be like strippers and like Cirque du Soleil and hoops. Like, what part of going on a mission sounds like it's supposed to be fun, exciting, sexy times? This is like,
you want to give people some party favors, drag in some ungodly people to convert, you know, they can practice on them. It's their party game.
What part about putting on a short sleeve button down shirt and a tie and going door to door sounds like it's like, woo, big raging party?
To them, that's like a crop top on a Friday night, you know? Bring it on, baby!
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
So Lisa's like, well, we're in Jack's world right now. And it's all like, Jack's doing what Jack's doing. And like, Jack's got this vibe that he like needed frosted tips. And like, I don't get it. Like, why are we reliving in the 90s? Thank you, Lisa, for finally using your platform for good. Thank you, Lisa.
I died. Because Lisa will never say anything bad, you know. And this is where she's just completely perplexed. Like, she accepted the missionary thing. She accepted him not going to college. Fudge college. Honestly, she accepted everything, but she's like, okay, frosted tips? No.
That's it.
I've completely lost.
No, absolutely not. So John's like, well, we're proud that you're doing this, even though you didn't tell us for a while. Just kidding. I know you told me as soon as possible. So growing up Mormon, a lot of times it's expected. And I had friends whose parents borderline threatened them that if they didn't go on a mission, that they'd be kicked out of the family. So, thanks for not making us do that, because that would have been awkward. I don't like
that. And John's crying to us. You know, he's like, I'm just so proud of how he's progressed so far. Pride doesn't even cover it. And then he comes back to him and he's like, just so you know, if you ever want to come back, the door is open for you. There were times on my mission where I wanted to come back. And Jack gives him this like little sweet, innocent smile, like, thanks, Dad. And then Lisa's like, yeah, so I had this roommate in college that was so crazy weird, and I'm telling you this for a reason. Like, I came home one day and she was wearing all my clothes, sitting on my bed, and I was like, what are you doing? And she said, I just wanted to know what it was like to be you for a day. And then she lifted up her shirt and said, have a good time, Lisa. And I said, Heather Gay, get out of my room, you weirdo. I mean, they're gonna be like companions that you're not gonna like, Jack, and you're stuck with them in close quarters. Someday you're gonna be cast on a TV show with them, and you have to talk about life with them. It's gonna be terrible. There are uncool people in this world, Jack, and I need you to be warned.
Meanwhile, let's like flash back to season one when Lisa Barlow and Meredith Marks looked identical and no one could tell them apart for the first three episodes. She's like, that's crazy, someone dressed up like me. So great pep talk.
I just want to warn you, stay away from gays, Jack. Whoa, no, aren't we supposed to try and help them? No, the homosexuals are fine. Heather Gays, stay away from Heather Gays.
Single white missionary.
If you come home and you see your roommate with your exact same frosted tips, do us all a favor and tell them to dye them, because those are heady ass.
Wait. So it's really crazy to have a roommate that dresses like you, but if you happen to have a roommate that doesn't have frosted tips, we do encourage you to dress like your roommate. That would be okay. If you want to try out someone else's look, we're okay with that.
Fatal attraction bad. Attraction fatal sometimes works. Just going to say that.
So Meredith and Monica are in a parking lot with Heather, and they're about to go across the
because that's how we're rolling.
Here it is. Here's the parking lot scene. So Meredith and Monica they've gathered in one of those wet parking lots where it's like 55 degrees out. Most of the snow has melted, but there's a bank of dirty snow that's going to last until May 3rd. And they're all getting ready to go cross-country skiing. And Heather's like, last winter, I took my daughters cross-country skiing on a whim, and we had this amazing time. It was like communing with nature. It was quiet. And this feels like good, cheap fun. And we should do it with my friends. Wish my mom had done this with me growing up. Sorry. Just want to wedge in a little bit more mommy trauma. Sorry.
So Whitney shows up. She's like, did somebody say cheap fun? I'm here. So she's like, I'm born and raised in Utah. I grew up with all the snow things, but I've never been invited to do country skiing cross. I always thought it was something I would do when I'm older, like the elderly women in my neighborhood.
Ma'am, I'm going to have ask you to take a seat on the snowbank, okay? Because I love cross-country skiing. Of course I do. Of course I love the elderly lady skiing, but I do.
We are elderly ladies to Whitney. You know, we are basically two women in swim caps doing water aerobics at the Y to Whitney's Williams.
Listen, I am not a good downhill skier. I tried. I think I've talked about this. When I was a kid, I tried to learn how to ski at a place called, in Vermont, a mountain that's literally called Suicide Six. Why is it called that? That's a terrible name for a mountain. I am bad. I cannot ski. I've never been able to master the bunny hill, but cross-country skiing, you give me a flat surface with like slight hills and dales and valleys or whatever. Love it. I'm all about the cross-country skiing.
Now, I support you. And if we ever are in the position where there's cross-country skiing, I will support you by pulling out one of the folding chairs and eating while you do it. I believe in cross-country sitting down.
No, okay? You glide along. I will take a flight. You glide along. Like they make little tracks in the snow. So you just glide along and you're going through the trees and up and down. It's usually on like a golf course that's snowed over and you go around and you see a pond and you see a bush. You see a cloud. It's just so lovely. Why do you want to like go down a mountain fast? It doesn't make any sense.
I don't.
Or you just don't want to.
I don't want to do that either.
Oh no. Well, okay, I accept that.
Putting things on your feet that trap you into them. What are you doing? Why would you do that? You can't. You're fucked. Like there's no getting out of this. I don't. No,
things I hated about skiing by Bethany Frankel.
I stopped. First of all, I created skiing. Okay.
It's time for a ski reckoning. Okay. People don't realize you're going down a mountain fast. Who created this?
You know what? Before I invented skiing, they only had snowboarding. I said, you know what? We need skinny skis. Okay. skinny boards. And we call them skis.
You know what? Okay. You know what? Snowboarding. You know what else is on a board? Water. Water boards. That's basically what you're doing. You're waterboarding your feet on the snowboard because snow is basically water. So you're waterboarding. This is absolutely we cannot have this. And this is Andy Cohen's fault.
We're gonna have a reckoning.
So Whitney makes her old people joke and cracks up at herself, and then of course when she says
the old women in my neighborhood like it,
then it cuts to Meredith going,
"Wow, who thought I'd be such a natural?"
I know. but then Whitney, as much as Whitney is like shaming cross country skiing, she's like, "How do we stop? How do we stop?" I'm like, you're going -3 miles per hour down a gentle slope.
I know. She was like, this is for old people. And then she fell over immediately.
She can't figure it out. I would have loved it if like Monica's grandma just went speeding by like,
not so loud, cross country skiing.
So Meredith is like, so there's a hill coming. I'm going. What's gonna happen after that?
You want to like talk about accent. The hills? You want to go there with the cross country skiing?
You want to go there with the hills?
You can ski.
So Heather, you know, of course, has to do this. I'm the king of the world.
It's like, doesn't even make sense in this context. Enough.
It's on boats. Didn't you already do this on below deck? Leave it at home, Heather.
So they have some antics, and then much like the snowmobile scene, they return back to from whence they began. They go to the parking lot and they set up some rickety chairs from like Dick's Sporting Goods, and Heather pulls out some supermarket olives and everything. She's like, I got some Kalamata olives and some blue cheese stuffed olives. And she goes, all right, ladies.
Girl, she had like some whipped cheese, like some cream cheese. I mean, this was a pretty good spread. It was like a good 10 things from the grocery store. I was into
it. I liked it, but again, it's like not very Real Housewives. Like they're pulling like the plastic off. Like Real Housewives, normally it's like a whole fancy thing. And so Heather goes, okay, everyone, take one last look at the snow. It might be gone next time we come here. I'm like, we're supposed to like savor this brown slush that's been piled up by the side of like the reserved parking sign.
I love how incensed you are over the landscape in this episode. You've like had it with the dirty snow.
Well, dirty snow is the worst.
Dirty snow. I cannot believe I'm watching a Housewives with dirty snow.
Dirty snow is like the Darren Aronofsky version of beautiful fluffy snow. You know, like, you know, like in December when the snow comes down, it's like, oh my God, it's whimsical. It is like a Hallmark movie, the holidays. Snow. Let's act like Winona Ryder and Edward Scissorhands. But then like in January, February, when that snow is piled up and it's dirty and it's brown and you're like still walking, like getting your feet cold and wet while you're going to the supermarket, you're like, fuck this gritty ass snow. Who cares about
it? Oh yeah. When I left New York, it was after like a big blizzard that was going on for like 8 days, and the snow was piled up on the side of the streets, you know? So it's like a a maze of snow banks you have to work your way through. And then it started to melt. And then I got splashed by a cab with muddy snow. No. So I was walking around covered in that shit. Some old lady pushed me out of the subway line. I tripped down the stairs. And then I got down there and finally got through the line. And then it was closed. We had to go around. So we had to walk back up the stairs and get rained on because now it was like raining dirty shit. And then go down. And I was like, you know what? Bye. Goodbye.
The old lady was like, bye. Welcome to the city of dicks, gay boy. You want to see a dick? Here it is.
She pushed me and stood right in front of me, okay, and took my place. I wasn't even in the front of the line. That's just how shitty it was. Okay, so no one needs to hear
anyway, that. Enough about Bethany.
I was like, get out of the way. It's a
snow
wrecking.
She pushed me out of the way, and she was like, excuse me, I invented skiing. Before me, it was snowboarding.
She was cross-country skiing down the street.
Out of the way. I'm in the part of the story where I love cross-country skiing, and then I realized later on that I was just part of a cult.
So Whitney's like, wow, Monica, you have a new Range Rover. Fancy. And sure enough, it is a different Range Rover than we've seen. And Monica's like, oh, that's a rental car. So when I had to get a new car. And listen, I paid for everything, but it's my mom's name. So whenever she gets mad at me, she takes my car. And she took my car after Angie's Easter dinner, and then she left me without a car and with my four kids. Wow. And we didn't even have shoes anymore.
That's so bad. I'm not laughing at her misery. I'm just laughing at, like,
this is a mess.
Like, the mess. This is such a mess. Also, a like, mess. Why did, like, don't get a Range Rover or, like, you know. So, Heather.
Well, later we see she's not in that Range Rover anymore. Later we see her in a really old Lexus, I think. So
I don't know, but we saw her in a Range Rover all season. I'm so confused about what the car situation is with her. And I know it doesn't matter, actually. Probably if you've got bad credit, you've got bad credit. So, it doesn't matter if it's a Range Rover or a Ford Taurus, you know. But
well, the monthly payment is different, high, doesn't it?
Well, I imagine like that's really high. But we saw earlier, she's trying to fit in.
I went to Circus Creek and I bought a bag.
So anyway, but there's this, that's fucked up. The mom basically Lucille Bluthing it, being like, look at me withholding. I'm taking back your car because I'm mad at you. That is so fucked up. So Monica is like,
so I had to rent another car so I could be here.
And Meredith is like, wait a second, Meredith Marks Esquire here. How was she able to even do this?
She said she wants a car by 4 p.m. or she's calling the police and saying it's stolen.
And she's like, yeah, it's sick, girls. It's sick. And Meredith's like, wait a minute. You're paying for it, but it's her credit. Well, it sounds like when she's angry, there's just no reasoning.
You want to talk about what? Well, girl, it's just because she's like angry and it's like a control tactic and she's like throwing a tantrum and like she's like, give me that back.
And their advice is you need to take your control back, which is easy to say when you've got credit because like she needs, that's the way she's able to control her in this moment, right?
Yeah.
It sucks.
That does suck. Yeah. And then Meredith goes, well, do it when it's not volatile, when it's calm, you know, and not angry. It's like me giving Brooks his binky. You don't want to do it while he's in kind of like you got to wait until he settles down a little bit. That's all.
And Monica's like, oh my God, like, she's actually really charming. You'd probably like her, but like, she's like Ted Bundy. No one ever thought he was a murderer because he was just so charismatic.
And Heather says, there's lots of legends in Utah about Ted Bundy. I didn't know Linda was one of them. I didn't quite get that, but I guess she's just saying Linda's like Ted Bundy. I don't know. So Heather's like, you know, I'm the only one that's absolutely not talking to my mom at all. Just want to throw that out there to show that like my mommy issues are still the prime mommy. These are the alpha mommy issues here. So don't try to take over my mommy issue storyline from the past 4 years, Monica. Thanks very much.
Ted Bundy was jailed in Utah.
Well, look at that. Was he on a mission?
He killed at least five Wasatch Front teenagers as he went to law school and joined the LDS Church in Utah. Jeez. Well, there you go. Who knew that? Did you know that?
Probably everyone knew that.
Ted Bundy was LDS?
Probably everyone knew that, especially in Utah, but I did not know that. I don't I didn't watch the Ted Bundy serial of the show on Netflix, and I have not really paid any attention to Ted Bundy. But
yeah, wow. People, when that show came out on Netflix, people were like, this is the most disturbing, violent, horrifying thing. I had to turn it off. And then I watched all 9 episodes.
Like, that is so our times. People are in love with that shit.
They love it.
Like, oh my God.
They love it.
I couldn't sleep for a week. It was amazing.
So Whitney goes, well, I didn't talk to my mom for 13 years, Heather. I just want to throw my name in the ring of mommy issues. And Monica's like, girl, it's crazy because, like, we all have these, like, daughters and, like, all these, like, insane relationships with our mothers. And it's like, we have to do, like, so much better, girl.
And then Heather's joking that it's because they're all the same religion. And she's like, don't leave Judaism, Meredith. And she's like, oh, well, I do have plenty of drama in my life, but I do still speak to mommy all the time. Meredith is extra Meredith in the scene. Did you notice?
Yes.
It was so hilarious. Like, she's really going over the top right now to be like, I'm having so much fun. Because she knows it's about to go south with Whitney. So she's like doing her utmost to be like fun Meredith, so she can have the contrast of like, I fucking hate you, but Meredith, in a couple seconds.
I also just like her giggling that she's like, well, I talk to my mother all the time. I have a great relationship with my mother. We just made white bean salad together the other day.
Oh my God, it's a 2-part recap. Everyone, this is the end of part 1. Stick around for part 2 because we are going to break down that entire scene at the end of this episode with Monica and Linda. It is really, I mean, I'm still gobsmacked by it. But anyway, thanks everyone for listening to the episode. Part 2 is going to be up on your feeds very shortly if it's not there already. Always remember to subscribe to Watch What Crappens so that we get all the episodes in your podcast player. Catch you on the next one. Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Strolling the Park with Caitlin Clark.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Itchels. Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
She's never scary, it's the Green Fairy.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Know Your Worth with Jason Kurth.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
Ruru LaRue.
The Bay Area Betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper.
Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
She's not harsh. She's Jill Hirsch.
She's a little bit loony. Junie.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
We love him madly. It's Kyle Pod Shadley.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
We want to hang with Liz Lang.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
Nancy Cease and Desisto.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
She's the queen bee. It's Sarah Lemke.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She's quite the catch. It's Victoria Catchit.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Watch What Crappens ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.